Welcome back to Page of the Wind. It's the daily podcast where we read a page of Name of the Wind, then talk about it. We have to clear the air a little bit today. There has been a bit of a lineup change. There were some creative differences, and sadly, Jeremy has been asked to leave the show. However, we have found a replacement at short notice. We were very lucky to get this person. We've been trying to get them for a while, and they'll be sitting in for the rest of the show, hopefully. Please welcome author of this franchise, Patrick Rothfuss. Pat, so glad to have you.
Oh, well, you know, I'm very glad to be here.
I really appreciate that you stopped hunting us for sport.
For now. For now. We will see how this podcast improves under new management, and if you prove yourselves worthy, I may not have you flensed by my groundskeepers.
Very, very grateful. Now, part of the deal, of course, was that one of us be sacrificed. And obviously the creative difference was Jeremy did not want to be the sacrifice, but...
Yes, unfortunate. Not really a team player, you know? It's just too bad. That being said, he makes a very nice rug for my bedroom.
I always thought he would.
Yeah, he's great. You know, I can squelch my toes in him.
Yeah, which is what everyone wants from a rug. Well, Pat, thanks for those kind words. We're sorry to lose Jeremy, but not as that does not equal the gratitude we have. We're less sorry to lose Jeremy than we are grateful to have you here. So
as it should be.
Well, hopefully this will be a wonderful partnership going forward.
You have to stop the bit. I'm crying so hard. I mean, I'm laughing so hard. I'm crying.
This is page 601 in the 10th anniversary book. It's page 578. Manes of the fire pit. I think it ate some of the rocks along with the wood. I know I gathered more than this to line the fire last night. Lizards eat rocks all the time, I said. It's how they digest their food. The rocks grind up the food in their guts. Denna eyed me skeptically. It's true. Chickens do it too. She shook her head, looked away as she prodded in the churned up earth. You know, at first I was kind of hoping you would turn this encounter into a song. But the more you talk about this thing, I'm not so sure. Cows and chickens. Where's your flair for the dramatic? It does well enough without exaggeration, I said. That scale is mostly iron, unless I miss my guess. How can I make that more dramatic than it already is? She held up the scale, looking at it closely. You're kidding. I grinned at her. The rocks around here are full of iron, I said. The Drakus eats the rocks, and slowly they get ground down in its gizzard. The metal slowly filters into the bones and scales. I took the scale and walked over to one of the greystones. Year after year, it sheds its skin, then eats it, keeping the iron in its system. After 200 years, I tapped the scale against the stone. It made a sharp ringing sound somewhere between a bell and a piece of glazed ceramic. I handed it back to her. Back before modern mining, people probably hunted them for their iron. Even nowadays, I'm guessing an alchemist would pay a pretty penny for the scales or bones. Organic iron is a real rarity. They could probably do all sorts of things with it. Then I looked down at the scale in her hand. You win. You can write the song. Her eyes lit with an idea. Let me see the lodestone. I dug it out of my bag and handed it to her. She brought the scale close to it, and they snapped sharply together, making the same odd ceramic ring again. She grinned and walked back over to the fire pit and started pushing the lodestone through the debris, hunting for more scales. I looked out toward the northern bluffs. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, I said, pointing off to a faint smudge of smoke rising from the trees. But something's smoldering down there. The marker stakes I planted are gone, but I think that's the direction we saw the blue fire last night. That's the page. My name's Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Patrick Rothfuss.
Okay, you can stop now.
Stop what?
You also, like, don't sound at all like him.
That's because I don't know what he sounds like.
Well, that's not my fault.
Yeah, isn't it though, Jordana?
I think we should blame Nick on this because he did not warn us that bit was going to happen.
I mean, he foreshadowed it at brunch today.
So... Kvothe put down the marker stakes and got to be very clever doing it, and then they were immediately taken out of play, which is an interesting choice for an author to make. It really just shows off Kvothe's cleverness again. And I mean, it makes sense and is a logical thing to do. It just ended up having no bearing on the story.
Well, but that's kind of an element of the sort of anti-fantasy of this book, or the critique of fantasy, because in a more traditional fantasy book, the clever thing would pay off right away.
A sort of antifa, you might say.
I might, but I haven't. but in this, he's saying, like, oh, the clever character does something clever, but the circumstances of the world, this does not work like a story. The circumstances of the story don't permit that.
I like that. That's, I suppose, at a micro level, what this book is doing, perhaps. Mm-hmm. An argument could be made. It'd be interesting to write a paper where you sort of do a microscope lens view of the way Rothfuss structures his lessons, almost, where you'd look at something very granular like this, where there's a very clever, potentially heroic, life-saving thing that's done that ends up kind of not bearing out, and then apply that to a bigger picture and a bigger picture and a bigger picture until you apply it to the whole book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that what we're doing right now?
I suppose so. I'm not saying Rothfuss is a one-trick pony.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. But also, we talk a lot about, and he himself has said that the trick he played with The Princess and Mr. Whiffle is the same trick he's going to play with this book. And so, I'm constantly on the lookout for things that are in plain sight, but are colored only by my expectations because it's a fantasy.
Mm. The fact about lizards and chickens swallowing rocks to aid in their digestion is true. Dinosaurs did that too. They're called gizzard stones.
Do we have proof that dinosaurs did that?
Yes,
besides Jurassic Park and the subplot with the Triceratops?
Yes, scientists have found like evidence, like dinosaur droppings next to great big piles of like stones, and they sort of like put two and two together that dinosaurs probably, especially because a lot of paleontology is comparing what we know about the biology of dinosaurs from their bones, comparing those bones to other animals whose bones are like that, and sort of extrapolating the other elements of their biology that might be similar. So I think other big herbivores do this too.
I've heard of deer doing this, I think.
Yeah.
But this is very clever of Rothfuss, because he's taking this real-world thing and making it a reason for the scale to be magnetic, which he needs in order for Quoth's trick to work during the Trebin sequence.
Yeah.
However, that does not work in real life. When a chicken eats rocks with lots of iron in it, it doesn't grow iron feathers.
No, but it does have probably more iron in it than it would otherwise.
He also... I don't know that in real life lizards eat their own skins after they shed them.
I think they do.
I don't know. But the idea that the same iron gets recycled, like eventually it becomes iron, and organic iron being an exciting alchemical reagent is also a very interesting idea.
Now, does Quoth know this because he read The Mating Habits of the Common Dracus, or does he just kind of figure it out?
I think he knows it. If not because he read it in The Mating Habits of the Common Dracus, then he knows it because he's been at the university and they probably talk about this stuff.
My impression is that he read it. It's from the book. That's one of the books he seems to have read cover to cover.
Yeah, because he doesn't seem like he's extrapolating. He seems pretty sure that this is what it is.
Yeah, and that's why I'm more okay with him explaining all of this on this page, because it's from a book. It's not just something he happens to know from his...
Is it not possible that the other things that he happens to know...
Everything he knows is stuff he learned.
Well, it's stuff he thinks he learned.
No, like stuff, like a lot of the other stuff that he asserts is stuff he learned from Ben or stuff he learned at the university. He just didn't say, I learned it from this book in this class.
You have to cite your sources.
Ugh.
They don't hear.
I know, and they should. Ugh. I mean, he sort of does earlier in the chapter. Anywho, I like the sound it makes. It's very evocative.
Yeah. I can picture what it sounds like.
The ceramic.
The sound of
the ceramic sound, yeah. And I like the idea that Dracuses aren't intrinsically iron. That this one is just mostly iron now because it's so old.
Mm. Yeah. Like he's doing a good job of taking a real world sort of mundane thing, the gizzard stone thing, and then extrapolating a fantasy element out of that.
And also then, explaining why they might be rare.
Oh, yes.
Because people killed them for their iron.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Also, like, this would probably make a good arrowhead or spear tip. And also, Denna is terribly clever. Denna is the one who figures out that you can, attach the stone to the lodestone, and also that you can hunt for more scales.
Yeah.
Now, if I were somebody who was into, say, bizarre out there theories...
Which you're famously not.
And if I had a sort of running theory that there was a kind of time loop going on...
Which you famously don't.
Yeah. I might say that Denna here is intentionally giving Quoth the idea to do magnetism on the scale.
To do a heckin' magnet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because all of this has happened before and all of this will happen again?
Well, you know. Time loop.
Yeah, time loop.
It's an infinity stone, okay?
You're an infinity stone.
It certainly seems like he talks for infinity. There was a joke in there somewhere, I'm sorry.
You know what? If you were an infinity stone, you'd be the time stone.
Why?
No, totally. Oh, yeah.
Because he's obsessed with time.
Oh, totally. That's the best infinity stone for sure.
Okay.
You do get to put it in a cool necklace.
So this feels like we're getting off the page, and I just wanted to check and see if you've got anything else on the page.
Well, why didn't the Ancient One just hand the whole Eye of Agamotto over to Hulk.
Because that's like a sacred relic.
No, it's the Infinity Stone inside that's the actual relic.
The eye is cool, though.
Yeah.
It belongs to the wizards. He doesn't need the eye.
Also, you can't actually touch Infinity Stones, so it's actually safer to have a shell around it.
Yeah, they really dropped that plot point, too, because people are just handling
really nice, things really
they always hover. They're always hovering between their fingers. But also, like, how come that didn't happen in Guardians of the Galaxy? Okay. Back to the page.
I guess we're done on the page.
Yeah, that's my point.
Jordan, you really led us astray this
I really did not. I really, really did not, but we should read some mail.
This letter's going to lead us astray. Page 600.
Which we technically haven't gotten to yet.
No, this is 601, homie.
Oh, right. Sorry, I'm reading the 10th anniversary book.
But page 600 is the title of this letter.
Okay.
And it's from our friend James. Hello, you wonderful trio. Joys to you on arriving at page 600. I don't have a copy within reach, nor do I have the brains or the energy to figure out exactly what's going on within the context of the page, nor do I have any sort of input on the page you've just read to me, 585, he said limply. So, the Dracus? Probably the Dracus, or something close to the Dracus. Still nothing. Congratulations on 600 pages, and here's to 600 more. There's at least 600 more after this, yes? It's been a delight and a pleasure to be with you for this long, and I look forward to all the pages and bits in the future.
Oh, we've got a lot. We probably have more bits than we do pages at this rate.
We're a bit factory, we are.
Bit farm?
I have to say, regarding the Dracus, I would have liked to see a small Dracus prior to this, or
baby
at least
Dracus?
After. Yeah, not a baby, but like a young Dracus. This one is apparently like unimaginably old as far as Draci go. And if they are, in fact, as common as the common Dracus would have us believe, then I would like to see at least somewhere, like, a Dracus in a cave that is, you know, the size of an iguana or a salamander or something. Just for a bit of a sense of scale. Mm.
Do you think Dracuses are like lobsters and they don't die of old age?
That's...
And do they never stop growing like lobsters?
I think they don't stop growing like most lizards, but I think that they are like tortoises in that, like, they do live a long time, but they will eventually die of old age.
Okay.
But lizards, unlike mammals who have sort of a growth spurt when they hit puberty... lizards sort of start out as miniature versions of their adult selves, and they just get slowly bigger and bigger and bigger, but they never stop getting bigger.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know if that's true.
I do.
Can you cite your sources?
No, not right now, but God. I know that it's true.
Then how come there aren't giant-ass salamanders running around?
Because they die of old age.
Okay.
But, like, think of, like, the 25-foot crocodiles you get in Australia.
Yes.
They start out as little baby crocodiles.
Yeah.
And they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
But do they have old age?
Yeah.
Or are they like lobsters?
No, they're
lobsters
lizards.
Are just a weird, like, demon of the earth.
They are the horrible sea insects shot out from Satan's bowels.
I mean, lobsters do eventually kind of shut down.
Mm.
They get too big to kind of move, and they just sort of molder away.
Mm.
So I understand it. Although, there is, at the bottom of the deepest trench, a gigantic, unimaginably huge lobster.
That's right.
Just gobbling up all the leavings.
Mm-hmm. All the marine snow.
Yeah, snacking on those blue whales that drift to the sea surface, floor, bottom.
Mm-hmm. And then once it has swept the oceans clean, it will come for us.
It will come for us, yes.
And listeners, you can look forward to that nightmarish future on tomorrow's page.
The Wind!